Just like to read one passage from the Bible tonight, and that is Mark chapter 9. Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 1. That's on page 1203. Page 1203, Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 1. And he said to them, "Verily I say unto you, there are some of those standing here that shall not taste death until they shall have seen the kingdom of God come in power." And after 6 days, Jesus takes with him Peter and James and John and takes them up on a high mountain by themselves apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his garments became shining, exceeding white as snow, such as fuller on earth could not whiten them. And there appeared to them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answering says to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we should be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, for thee one, and for Moses one, and for Elias one." For he knew not what he should say, for they were filled with fear. And there came a cloud overshadowing them, and there came a voice out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And suddenly, having looked around, they no longer saw anyone but Jesus alone with themselves. And as they descended from the mountain, he charged them that they should relate to no one what they had seen, unless when the Son of Man should be risen from among the dead. There were 2 things that I was thinking about, and the reason why I read this passage, and they are the mountain and snow. We've been away recently, but I was just thinking about the mountains. One thing you understand when you go up a mountain, I'm sure most of us have, is the greatness and size of them and how enormous they are, and they speak to us of God's mighty creation. We looked over the mountains, the tops of the mountains, and it was a beautiful picture of God's, the beauty of God's creation, the majesty of God's creation. There are lots of passages in the Bible that talk about mountains. Psalm 104 was one of the passages that we read for further reading. We read that this morning. And in Psalm 104, it says, "The mountains rose and the valleys sank to the place where thou hast appointed them." In other words, the mountains rose to the point where God decided. God planned the mountains. He planned all of creation. He made all of creation. The mountains are also humbling. They're humbling because they make you realize how small man is. When you get to the top of mountains and you look down, you look down at towns, you look down at people, if you can see them, they look so tiny, so small. They remind us of how small we are and how big God's creation is, how much greater it is than us. They also speak to us of the greatness of God's power in creation. Mountains have to be respected and because of the weather changes and all things like that. But there are many other scriptures in the scriptures, that there are many other passages in the Bible that talk about mountains. But it's also a reminder that when you're up a mountain, you're away from the city, you're away from the crowd of society, you're away from all of man's organisations, and you're up closer into the presence of God. And mountains certainly very clearly remind us of the mighty power of God's creation in bringing about these things. So Jesus takes 3 of his disciples up on a high mountain apart. He takes them up on a high mountain apart, away from the world. What a reminder that is, that we need to get away from the world and into the presence of God. We're hearing from God tonight through his words, not from the preacher in that sense, but from his words. And that's what every preacher desires, generally desires us to hear, is to hear a word from God and to be into his presence. To be on that high mountain is a place away from the noise and distraction and sin and everything of the world. On a high mountain, there's very little to distract you. You can look across and see, if the weather's good, you see other mountains and you see the beauty of God's creation and how wonderful it is to be apart and away from the world and into God's presence. And something amazing happens when Jesus takes them up to this mountain. He takes them up this mountain and he was transfigured before them. This is a very special revelation of the glory of Jesus. It's very difficult for us to describe and understand exactly what has happened here. But there is a, let's look at what the scripture says. His garments became shining, exceeding white as snow. As we know, snow, when it first falls, is pure and white. It's perhaps one of the greatest reminders in nature that we have of the holiness and purity of God. His garments became shining, exceeding white as snow, such as fuller on earth could not whiten them. In other words, there is no whiteness that could be made any on earth that could be made anywhere like the purity and holiness and whiteness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a vision and a revelation for these three disciples, Peter, James, and John, of the holiness of the Lord Jesus. Heaven is a holy place. Heaven is a place where God dwells, where he will not let any sin come in. No sin can come into heaven. It is a pure, spotless, holy place. It's unlike us. How unlike us this is. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is perfect and spotless and holy. This passage is meant to show to us how unique the Lord Jesus is, how different he is from everyone else. He alone has perfect purity and holiness. This is such a powerful vision for Peter, James, and John. It would have stayed with them for the rest of their lives. They would never have forgotten the incredible revelation that this was of the glory of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus came from the place of perfect holiness, which is heaven. He came down into this world to die the death deserved by us. And this is a revelation and a confirmation for us of his perfection and his holiness and where he came from. He came from the heights of heaven, dear friends, down into this world. And this is a revelation of his glory. This is one of the glimpses that we have in the Bible of his glory. He is unlike any other man. He is the Son of God. God manifest in flesh. God himself come down into human flesh. What a revelation this is. And the gospel, in a sense, is a revelation of God's glory. It shows us who he is, the greatness of who he is in his holiness. The contrast with this world and with us couldn't be greater. Isaiah says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as snow. Come now, let us reason together, saith Jehovah. Though your sins shall be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, if ye be willing and hearken." The gospel is preached, dear friends, so that we might be cleansed from our sins. We had a reminder a few months ago from Ricky about the need for us to be cleansed like the leper, like the lepers were cleansed. And there's a parallel here. But that holiness and that purity is what we need in order to get into heaven. And yet we are all sinners. We all have that stain of sin on us. We all have that stain of sin like sins like scarlet. That's the red, like red colour of blood, a bright colour that stands out against a perfect whiteness. Our sins have separated us from God, haven't they? Wherever we go in the world, wherever we travel, to other places or even just round the corner, and even in our own hearts, we're reminded of the sin of man, aren't we? Sin is rebellion against God's law. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is doing our own thing and ignoring God's. Sin is choosing to go our own way, to be disobedient to God's word. Think of the sins of the world, and yet, dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ was going to come into this, came into this world and was going to go to the cross to die on your behalf and on mine. This is a vision of the purity and holiness of Jesus. But dear friends, he alone is the great saviour of the world, who can make us clean like this and make us fit to get into heaven. He alone is the key of life, the key of knowledge, and the source of eternal life. He alone, through his precious shed blood, we need to be made right with God. We need to be cleansed from our sins to be made right to go into heaven. Moses and Elias appear with Jesus. And Peter says, it's good that we should be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for Moses and one for Elias. But Peter didn't really know what he was saying. Moses and Elias were the two of the great prophets from the Old Testament. Moses was the one who had brought in the law, and Elijah was one of the great prophets. So they representing the law, the Old Testament, and the prophets, the law and the prophets. But a cloud overshadowed them. You often get clouds on mountains. The weather changes very quickly. But this was very different. This was a very special event from God. So the first event was the change of appearance of Jesus. The exceeding brightness, the exceeding shining and whiteness of snow. The second powerful event in verse 7 is the cloud overshadowing them. And out of the cloud there came a voice. There are only a few times in the Bible where God speaks directly, where God's words are recorded directly, and this is one of them. A cloud overshadows them, and there came a voice out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son, hear him. This is my beloved Son, hear him. Those words come down to us today, this very day. 2,000 years ago was roughly when this took place. And God is saying exactly the same to us today. This is my beloved Son, hear him. The words of Jesus are recorded in the Bible for us. Through the Gospels, you can sometimes get Bibles that highlight the words of Jesus in red. But either way, read carefully and listen carefully to the words of Jesus. The most important words you will ever read and hear are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. God is saying here, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Jesus said many different things. He said things like, I have come that they might have life and might have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus laid down his life for you, dear friends. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is exalted in the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is the one who can save you from your sins, from the effects of that you rightly deserve. We rightly deserve death and hell and judgment. We rightly deserve separation from God. We rightly deserve the punishment of hell for all eternity. On the mountain, we went past a restaurant that was playing some very loud music. And we didn't go in, but we heard the loud music that they were playing. And the loud music they were playing was called Highway to Hell, which was a pretty sobering reminder. That is a reminder, dear friends, of the fact that people without God are on the way to hell. They were playing it in a place of beautiful, the beauty of creation. They were playing it in a place where God's creation was so evidently displayed, a beautiful mountain. And yet they were playing that song. Some of you might have heard of it. Some of you might know about it. But it's a reminder, a sobering reminder, isn't it? That's a reminder that we need to get right with God. We need to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to listen to his words. This is my beloved son, hear him. He went to the cross on our behalf, dear friends. He bore the punishment rightfully due to us. There's a price for sin, isn't there? There's a price for everything. We're often reminded of the prices of things, aren't we? Every single deed, every sin that we commit has a price. It has a price to be paid. Has the Lord Jesus Christ paid the price for your sin? Has he washed you clean from your sin by his blood? Have you put your faith and trust in him as the only way of salvation? Have you asked in repentance before God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you asked to be cleansed from your sins so that you would be made fit to be in God's presence? So that you would be cleansed and made holy, made like the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a reminder this morning that we are clothed with his righteousness through faith in his blood. Have you been made fit to come into heaven, dear friends? What a warning this is in the gospel. How beautiful it is to know that we have, those of us that have put our faith and trust in him, that we are clothed with his righteousness. We're made fit to come into heaven because of what he has done, because of that full and free forgiveness that he offers us tonight. Some people think they're too evil, too much of a sinner to become a Christian. Look at the examples through the scriptures of those that have become Christians. The thief on the cross next to the Lord Jesus. How many, many other examples there are of those that are very great sinners. And the first step is acknowledging that we are sinners away from a holy God. And we deserve nothing but judgment, but put our faith and trust in what he has done at Calvary's cross. Because, dear friends, he broke the power of death. The Lord Jesus Christ here is seen in his glory, but he went the way, the suffering way of the cross. He was given the death by the Romans of the worst criminals of the day. He died the death deserved by us. And yet, dear friends, he's broken the power of death. The tomb is empty and he's now in glory, in the majesty and glory of that place in heaven. And he was willing to receive all who come before him in repentance and faith. May we all have that assurance of salvation that we've been saved for his name's sake.